This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode about DNA and who participates in DNA research. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. When Pulse reporter Sojourner Ahebe has a question about her family history, she knows exactly where to turn, her mother. And some of that history is on display in their house.
In fact, at the entry of our home, when you come in our home, it's all the ancestors on the wall.
That's my mom, Octavia McBride. She got her knack for sleuthing when she was a news reporter in the late 80s. And every time I had an assignment for school that involved family history, she was the person I went to.
Yeah, and I was excited because I felt like I was passing the baton to you because I was always sort of like the person collecting the pictures and the stories. So I get great strength and pride from knowing my family stories, sharing them and passing them along to my own children and my nieces and nephews.
And Sojourner, does your mom do her research with paper records or how does she go about it?
Yeah, it's been a mix of paper records and stories she's heard over the years from relatives. So, for example, my mom was actually able to piece together the story of her grandmother, Della May.
She had my mother, Sally, by a white man. And of course, in 1931, those types of relationships and the children that came from them, they were illegal. So the white family, who was pretty prominent, placed my mother in the home of a sort of fair-skinned family where my mother would not stick out.
So Sally, my grandmother, was raised in this family, and eventually their children migrated to Philadelphia for work and to escape some of the racial violence of the South.
And how far back can your mom trace your family history? What year, roughly?
Sure. So the oldest ancestor that we actually know of by name would have been around the mid-19th century. But to go further back, it's a little bit more complicated. During slavery, African-American families were constantly being separated from one another. So it was really common for you not to have been raised by your biological parents. So that makes it really hard to find biological ancestors. And the U.S. Census, which is the most widely used record in genealogy research, didn't actually record African Americans by name until after the Civil War in 1870. So if you want to go further back than that and find out more details, paper documents will only take you so far. And some people have called this the wall of slavery.
Is DNA research helpful at all in finding out more details when you hit that wall?
So yes and no, they have and they haven't. They can help you find relatives and tell you whether you have ancestry from particular regions in the world, like Africa or Asia. But for many people, they can't really answer those deeper questions like who your ancestors were, their names, and their customs.
And that hits on the limitations of DNA itself. I mean, there's only so much DNA can tell us, but that promise is further limited by how samples are collected and who participates in that research.
At Westchester University near Philadelphia, students can participate in a class called the DNA Discussion Project. It's designed to get students to talk about their family histories, their identity, and they take a DNA test to see how genetics fits into that family story.
Everybody talks about their ancestry. Everybody talks about their family tree.
Anita Foman is a professor of communications who founded this project, and she says African American students face a unique set of challenges in doing this work.
And in effect, many Black students hit that wall of slavery. And so they are really looking to see if they can extend their understanding of their family.
Amari Gilmore participated in the project when she was a student. She knew a good bit about her family's history going into the class, thanks to her great aunt Christine, who had shared some stories about their ancestors and their lives in the South.
They were farmers, and the land that they worked in West Virginia, and how they had accumulated small pockets of wealth here and there, and how all of kind of our family has gone out and really sought education. A lot of my family, they are educators, but that's been a passed down kind of trait, if you will, from even as far back as in slave times.
What she had hoped for with the DNA test were some more specific details about her ancestors and to expand on some of the family stories.
So on my mother's side, they have a lot more pictures of just relatives. And there is this claim that we are part Native American and that there were several ancestors of mine that had that long, straight, black hair, definitely also told that I was a descendant of slaves.
When Amari got her DNA test back, the results really surprised her.
It told me I was 80% African, 20% European, not at all Native American. I was kind of shocked to see such a high percentage of European ancestry and was kind of shocked, but not really, that there was no Native American in me.
Anita said it's common for African Americans to overestimate Native American ancestry. It can be a way to mitigate painful memories of slavery, particularly sexual violence Black enslaved women endured from their white slave owners.
When I found out that I was 20% European, I'm like, does this affect me? And then I was like, no, I'm still a Black person.
Amari had also hoped to get some answers from this test in terms of geography, where in Africa her ancestors were from. Her test results pointed to Ghana and the Ivory Coast as the top two countries within her African ancestry percentage. And those are countries on the coast of the continent where many Africans were kidnapped and put on ships to the Americas. But this gets us to one of the major limitations of DNA tests. We want them to tell us who we are and where we are from. But the where is especially tricky. To understand why, you have to look at how these tests work. To begin with, we all have DNA in every cell of our bodies. 99.9% of every human's DNA is the same.
In that 0.1% of our DNA is where our differences lie. Our hair texture, our skin color, our height, our weight, our personality. Ancestry can be found in those differences.
That's Gina Page. She's the co-founder of AfricanAncestry.com, a genealogy company that was started with the express purpose of helping people of African descent answer questions about their roots. She says there are single letter changes in that 0.1% of our DNA called single nucleotide polymorphisms, or SNPs for short. These are passed down from generation to generation, which means geneticists can compare your SNPs to a genetic database of people with known ancestries to estimate your own ancestry.
If we can query a group of people in Africa, analyze their genetic signatures on the part of the DNA that does not change over time, then we can say if your DNA looks like this, it's probably shared with the Fulani people. If your DNA looks like this, it's probably shared with the Mandinka.
But for Black Americans, the size and diversity of the database really matters. Most of the major DNA companies have databases where people of European ancestry are overrepresented. In 2018, 23andMe could only match people to three broad regions in sub-Saharan Africa. So if you're Black, you're not going to get very specific results. For example, imagine you share genetic ancestry with people from a small town in Ghana. If the testing companies have a bunch of people from that small town, they can match you against them really effectively. But if they don't have people from that specific small town, they might just determine you're broadly West African. But the big DNA companies are trying to diversify these databases. For example, 23andMe now has a program called the Global Genetics Project, where they invite people from undersampled regions of the world to donate their saliva in exchange for free test results. Gina says AfricanAncestry.com is ahead of the game in that case because they have the largest database of African samples in the world.
We have a mother and a father. We each inherit 50% of our DNA from our mother and 50% from our father. So if your mother's yellow and your father's blue, then you're going to be green. Imagine that you're green, but you have a little yellow dot. That's DNA that you inherited from your mother that didn't mix with your father. It stayed yellow. That's called mitochondrial DNA.
So African ancestry looks at either the mitochondrial DNA you inherited from your mother or the Y chromosome men inherit from their fathers, and then trace it back to a present-day African country or ethnic group.
That means that our answer that we give you for that question of where were my people before the transatlantic slave trade and who were my people? How did they live? What were their cultures, cultural practices, their traditions, their values, their beliefs? You can get that answer when you know the tribe.
But the vast majority of genetic reference groups are based on people who self-report their ancestry. So while someone might be really sure that they are a specific ethnicity or that their family came from a specific place, that knowledge is often incomplete and therefore not an accurate measure of ancestry. And this gets to the bigger question of what these tests are really looking for. Ethnicity is a sociocultural factor. It's fluid. It changes over time. It's not purely biological. Most people have multiple ethnic and ancestral backgrounds, which means the DNA tests most likely won't be able to capture the whole breadth of your story. And the companies don't just match you to one geographical area or region in the world. They assign you very specific percentages.
If you remember the yellow dot we spoke, they then send the codes for your maternal ancestry or your paternal ancestry to our analysis team, which is made up of geneticists. And the analysis team then does the comparison of your DNA to DNA around the world to determine the ancestry.
So an ancestry DNA test might reveal you have 80% African ancestry and 20% European ancestry. That just means a geneticist ran your DNA in an algorithm with the reference DNA and said, let's try to put known ancestries together in different combinations to get a similar variation of SNPs that you have. In other words, the computer is looking for a best fit, not a perfect match. And Gina agrees. DNA holds a lot of valuable clues, but it can't tell the full story. She says there are just some things slavery took that aren't salvageable.
Psychologists have shown that knowing where you're from is a critical component of knowing who you are. We don't know our original names. We don't know our original languages. We don't even know who many of our family members really are because of the disconnection, the intentional, masterful disconnection of people that slavery required. We are the descendants of people who walk through life not being able to answer a simple question. And if you think about it, it's a question that people talk about all the time.
The tests can't tell you your ancestors' name, what they like to wear, that song they used to sing. But even without those details, your DNA carries a resilient record of all that you came from.
Even though we don't know the names, and even though we don't know the languages, and even though we don't know our family trees, and we'll never know those, we have the actual DNA from somebody who made it through that entire horrific history of capture, being packed on a slave ship, plantation living, no humanity, can't get married, you can't keep your children, you're not allowed to read and write, segregation, Jim Crow, you name it. Somebody's DNA made it through all of that.
For The Pulse, I'm Sojourner Ahebe.